Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Our subject today is the victorious life. Mm-hmm. Who doesn't want to have a victorious life? The Bible text is from First Letter of John, chapter 5, verse 4. It says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is a victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Praise God. When I was a child, Easter was very special. As my pastor, as my parents were pastors, the church and Christian festivals were very much part of my life. On Good Friday, we always had a service in the morning, and some churches, they even had a service in the evening. When there was a service on Good Friday, that service was always very sad. You singing quiet songs, it was all sad. And on Sunday, it was very joyous. I don't know why, because Jesus has died for us, and that is a reason for joy. When we were on Easter Sunday, 6 in the morning, our church band went to play music here and there in different places, waking up the people, reminding them that Jesus had risen early in the morning. Later on, when I was living in England, we had a sunrise service in the morning. Went to a nearby hill, and on the hill, as the sun was rising, we had a service to the glory of God. Today, when you go to the shops, you don't see anything about Jesus, but you see a lot of chocolate. Easter rabbits, chocolate eggs, all kinds of chocolates. That has become a tradition in this country. And so much that people don't even think what Easter is about. It's just chocolate. Most people don't know what Easter is about. They don't know. Because they only think there is a holiday. 4 weeks we don't have to go to work. And so they're very happy about Easter. There are three Christian feasts which are closely connected. First, Christmas. Christmas. Jesus came into the world. And second, Good Friday. Because if Jesus hadn't been born, he couldn't have died for our sins. The third one is Easter. If Jesus didn't die, he couldn't have been risen. So it belongs together. Before we can talk about the message title and the verse, we have to understand what it is about. We have to understand the background. Now, Jesus was killed. He was crucified. A very brutal, barbarian way to kill somebody. Why did Jesus have to die? People often think they can do and leave just what they want. Yet God, our Creator, has given us laws to live by. Since He is a Creator, He has the right to give those laws. When Lucifer, the highest cherub who had ever been created, was rebelling against God, he became sin. He lost his exalted position and became the devil or Satan. Since Adam and Eve, he has tempted people to do the same as he did. He wants us to sin, and therefore he tempts us with things that he knows exactly it is wrong. Also, man has a strong will to do right or to do wrong. Men have become sinners. To make people understand the holiness of God, the exaltedness of God, the sovereignty of God, he gave laws. Amongst others, there are laws about sacrifices. It was about sacrifice that God killed Abel, that Cain killed Abel. It was about sacrifice. But Cain offered sacrifice, Abel sacrificed, gave sacrifices. And that caused anger to come up. And Cain killed Abel. We see even the sacrifice, the work what we do, does not prevent us from sinning. When God told Adam that on that day when he would eat of that tree, that forbidden tree, he would die. And in fact, he did die spiritually. For sin, God demanded blood, because it says in the Bible that life is in the blood. So a life had to be given. A blood had to flow. Moses gave the laws about various sacrifices, including the sacrifices for sin. They offered bulls and goats and rams and lambs. The people offered these sacrifices without understanding what they mean. They didn't understand. They thought when they sacrifice these animals, everything will be okay. They failed to understand the meaning of it. They failed to understand. Sacrifices were offered to God that he might be merciful. They should change their heart and follow God. But all this has failed. And that is why Jesus came into the world. But the world rejected him. Animals were offered, but they cannot take away the sin. They cannot take away the sin of people. It must be a perfect human being, a perfect man, but there is nobody to be found, because all men have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There was only one, and that is Jesus Christ. He became the perfect Lamb for us. We read in John 1:29, the next day John saw, that is John the Baptist, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He died as a perfect Lamb for the sin of all human beings in this world who have ever lived. Jesus died because he carried the sin of the whole world, and by that he became a sinner. But God, he is God, and God cannot stay dead. He cannot be dead. So he rose back to life. His resurrection was the proof of all that he had said and told the people. If he had remained in the grave, he would have been forgotten. Nobody would be thinking about Jesus, and we wouldn't be here today. His resurrection life and ascension 40 days later is proving his divinity. Easter is the most important event in our life as Christians. He died on Friday, and that settled the issue of punishment forever. And so we are justified. Praise the Lord. But in his resurrection is a new life. He didn't only die, he rose and lives today. That is what makes it so special. He lives, and he lives in me. His crucifixion is a happy event for us because it has justified us. His resurrection is a happy event for us because it has given us the hope of eternal life. And that is why we say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. He ascended to heaven 40 days later, and 10 days after that, he sent the Holy Spirit. We have a living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have a living God, not a man who started a new religion. He is alive at the right hand, sitting at the right hand of God. In Revelation chapter 1, you can read how Jesus looks like with his glorified body. There are three specific things that the Christian has been instructed to overcome: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And in each case, we have been equipped with the tools to do exactly that. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 7, submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. The first thing you have to do is to submit to God. You cannot overcome and have victory over the devil if you are not submitted to God. To submit to God means to worship Him right, to obey His commands, to give Him the glory and honor because He's worthy of it. The Bible is full of verses which say that we have to submit to God, because the victory that we have is not in our own strength. The victory is in the power of the name of Jesus. Glory to God. We read in Job chapter 22, verse 21, it says, submit to God and be at peace with Him. In this way, prosperity will come to you. Submission to God is giving us the power to go to the next step. Because Paul was writing in Ephesians, and he lists the weapons of spiritual warfare which we will need to overcome our spiritual enemy. In Ephesians 6:11, it says, put on the full armor of God, having the armor of a heavy armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able to successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. In the next verse, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly realms. Please understand, we are not just living in the natural. We have been born again, and since then we live in the spiritual. And not everything that happens is from God. You need to discern the power that is working in your mind and in your life. What is that power? The answer to overcome the works of the flesh is to walk in the Holy Spirit and adhere to the truth. The Word of God gives many helpful instructions on how to be filled with the Spirit, so that the lust of the flesh will be starved to death in our lives. You can resist the devil by quoting verses from the Bible. You can resist him by commanding him in the name of Jesus, leave my life. You can resist him You can resist every evil thought by commanding them to leave your life. Do not give in to every inclination of that come into your mind, into your life. Do not give in to all the ideas that are coming into your mind. Somebody said this week, the devil has come over me. Yeah, we have the power to tell the devil to get out, to leave. Tell the devil what it says in the Bible about me. The Bible says, I am a child of God. I'm a child of God. I'm redeemed. I am sanctified. John explains that it means what it means to overcome the world. We read in the first letter of John, chapter 5, verse 4, once again, our initial verse. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. It is our faith in the living God and His Word that overcomes the world. But faith must have an object. The object of our faith is Jesus Christ. It is our faith in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus that gives victory over the world. It is trusting in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our faith in Jesus Christ. It's our faith in the person and the work of the Lord that gives victory over the world. It is trusting in the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior, for the forgiveness of sins and for everlasting life that overcomes the world. In 1 John 5, 4, John is not talking about victory in heaven one day. He is talking about having daily victory here on earth while we are alive in our body. The victory that comes as a result of our faith. We do not have to wait until we go to heaven before we can start the victorious life. We can have it right now here on earth. Many Christians, they have never heard that we can live a victorious life, and so they continue in the sinful life. It's our identification with Christ and His finished work by faith which caused us to overcome. Indeed, Jesus Himself, He said in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Praise the Lord. Jesus lived a perfect life and died a spiritual death, a sacrificial death, and all who trust in Him are identified with Him and His victory. We are identified with His life. We are identified with His death. We are identified with Him in the victory over sin, death, and the world. As members of the body of Christ, we are accepted by God and all have and have also overcome the world by faith in the Son of God. By faith in Christ, we have overcome the ungodly world system that is saturated by sin and seek to entrap us in many and varied temptations and enticements. And God has given us all we need, not only to overcome the world, but to overcome the flesh and the devil. Let us live and work in His presence, in His praise and glory. For he alone deserves all honor and glory, because he is worthy of glory alone. To have a victorious life, it says in Psalm 1:1, do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join with mockers. As Christians, we are not in the world, we are not of this world, but we are of God. We must not be contaminated by evil. In the secular world, we might be tempted to join the crowd in order to belong to somebody, to a group. Let us be aware that friendship with the world makes us enemies with God. People might dislike or even hate us, but we must stand our ground and stick with the word of God. Let us not forget that if the world hated Jesus and his followers, it will also hate us because of Christ. It can also lead us to being corrupted by the world and loving the world. So we have to separate ourselves. The Bible warns us about loving this world and anything in the world, because the love of the Father will not be in us. Also because everything in this world is temporary. Temporary. It will all pass away. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we are just pilgrims here on earth. He who meets that standard of Psalm 1:1 and 2 is like a tree that is planted by the river of water, who is prosperous in every way. Like a tree, the godly person is alive, beautiful, fruitful, useful, and enduring. The most important part of the tree is the hidden root system that draws up water and nourishment. The most important part of a believer is a spiritual root system that draws on the hidden resources that we have in Christ. This is known as abiding or remaining in Christ. It is sad when a believer ignores the root system and begins to wither. We must remember that the tree doesn't eat fruit. Others eat it. We must also remember that fruit isn't the same as results. Fruit and result is not the same. A result is something that has been finished. But because fruit has in itself seed for more fruit. So fruit comes from life, the life of God flowing in and through me. Yes. What is the fruit of that Christians bear? The fruit that we bear include our character. You can read that in Colossians 5:22. Our character, our actions, and our decisions. Is the fruit of the Holy Spirit evident in our lives as believers? Is Christ's character seen in us? How much fruit do you bear? Psalm 1:3 describes a tree bearing fruit in its season, and its seasons regularly. Do you bear fruit occasionally or regularly? If it is true that we are dead to sin in Christ, the only thing for us to do is to yield to submit and to offer our lives to God. We have been brought to life from death, transformed from the darkness into light, and living on the resurrection ground, on the victory side of the cross. Sin and death have no more hold over us, so we should not be living in sin, in fear and worry. As Christians, we still have a free will. But if we choose if we choose victory, we may certainly have it as a gift from the Lord. Victory can be ours as we rest in the Lord constantly and obey all the commands that the Holy Spirit is giving us. But if we reject this victory, we will continue to live a defeated Christian life. Let's begin to live in a victorious life that Jesus Christ has already given us. When he was raised to life, he has given us victory over everything, over death and over everything. And therefore live, take the victory as your own possession, and live in victory every day.